Hey there, my name is Wendy, and I'm an environmental toxins lawyer who is obsessed with showing women how to toss the toxins out of their life and embrace a more holistic lifestyle. I'll be dishing up bite-sized but binge-worthy episodes on all things detox, low tox, and what's that toxin? And what is it really doing to my health? I'm breaking it all down for you, separating the myths from the facts and pulling back the curtain on the products and beauty industry. You'll hear my unfiltered and sometimes unpopular, but honest opinions. No topic is off limits. We'll dive into what's really causing our thyroid issues, hormone imbalances, infertility, and more. Think of it as a crash course for all things holistic living, but for real life. You don't have to do everything. You just have to start somewhere. Let me show you how. This is the Detox Dilemma Podcast. Welcome to episode 24 of the Detox Dilemma Podcast. I am your host, Wendy, and today is kind of a big topic, but it's an important topic. It's actually been in the news and all over social media a lot lately, and it is PFAS chemicals, or you may have heard them called forever chemicals. You probably think of Teflon or nonstick pans when you think of PFAS or these forever chemicals. But recently, more and more in the news and on social media, the word's been spreading about PFAS being found in mascara or even period underwear. And I really think that that exposure is one of the reasons why it's finally becoming a mainstream issue that people are talking about. And it's finally why the EPA felt enough pressure to finally move forward with regulation on these PFAS chemicals in drinking water as part of our Safe Drinking Water Act, or as I like to call it, the Not-So-Safe Drinking Water Act. And because of all the attention that PFAS have been given, there's a lot of DMs in my Instagram asking me where to find these things, how to avoid these chemicals, and what people can do in their homes to protect themselves. So this episode is going to be a little bit of a deep dive on PFAS chemicals. My goal is that by the time this podcast episode is over, you will know what PFAS chemicals are, why they're considered forever chemicals, what they actually do to your health, where they're found, and how you can protect yourself and decrease your exposure as much as possible. Because here's the thing, and you'll hear this throughout this episode. These are everywhere. You cannot avoid them completely, but there are some things that you can do to definitely reduce your exposure. This was actually a really hard podcast to put together and to outline because I'm like in it. Like I'm in the thick of the current regulatory environment when it comes to these toxins as part of my job. And so it's really hard to kind of pull back away from the nuance and the data and the science and the history and really focus on the big picture. But I feel like I'm going to be able to do that today. So let's dig in. Okay, let's first start with what are PFAS chemicals? The technical name for these chemicals is per- or polyfluoroalkyl substances. And I know that's a mouthful, so everyone just calls them PFAS or PFAS for short. Now, these chemicals are not new. They've actually been around since DuPont created them in the 1940s. And if you have never seen the movie Dark Waters with Mark Ruffalo, go check it out. That will give you some of the history. You may be more familiar with PFOA or PFOS, PFOA, and PFOS, which are those Teflon chemicals. And those are just two in a class of what is calculated to currently be about 12,000 different synthetic chemicals. So that class in and of itself, that PFAS, it's an umbrella that makes up about 12,000 chemicals. So what all of these chemicals have in common is a carbon-fluorine bond. And that bond is actually the strongest bond in all of organic chemistry. And let me just say, I did not take organic chemistry in college, but I have a lot of friends that took it and they all said it was really freaking hard. So what does that strong bond mean or look like in real life? So usually when you have a chemical, environmental elements like heat or sunlight or water, those things can help break down other chemicals. But that is not the case with PFAS. They don't break down. And that's actually what has made them so attractive to chemical companies. And it's also what makes those chemicals attractive to companies that are creating products that you want to be stain resistant or waterproof, because these bonds basically do that exactly. They're so slick and they can't be broken. So they're perfect for nonstick pans, fast food wrappers so your food doesn't get stuck to it, microwave popcorn bags, pizza boxes, water-resistant clothing, cleaning products, shampoo, dental floss is a big one. eye makeup, anything coated with stain repellents like carpets or upholstery, paints and varnishes, and sealants. And those are just the consumer products. Those are just the things that you are out there in the world buying. But another major source of the contamination is from a specific kind of firefighting foam that has been used at airports and at military bases for decades. You can see how these chemicals have made life super convenient for a really long time. And calling them forever chemicals might seem a little bit dramatic, but actually, scientifically, it is pretty darn accurate. Once PFAS chemicals are in our environment, in our water, in our products, and our landfills, they are literally here to stay. And you can ask scientists from all kinds of different organizations, regulatory agencies, or nonprofit organizations, and they'll give you anywhere between decades to thousands of years to hundreds of thousands of years. And I've even heard one scientist from the EPA say, maybe a millennia. So that's pretty forever in my book. Okay, so now you know what PFAS is and you know what it does and why it's been so popular for so long. But how do these chemicals get into our bodies? I will tell you this. Most people in the United States have at least one PFAS in their bloodstream. And as part of the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, it's a mouthful, the CDC has actually been using blood testing to measure the levels of two specific PFAS. Those are the ones I told you about in the beginning, the PFOS and the PFOA, PFOA, in the U.S. population since 1999. And what they have found is, with the continual exposure, because PFAS is everywhere, and the slow rate in which PFAS is excreted from our bodies, because it acts like a forever chemical in our bodies too, it just bioaccumulates. These chemicals build up over time, and we all have them in our bodies. But how do they get there exactly? So because these PFAS chemicals are so slick, they migrate really easily. So what does that mean? That means that they're in our air, our soil, and our water. We just call that being ubiquitous. In other words, they're pretty much just everywhere. Now, I'm going to diverge a little bit from probably what you're hearing from people on the internet and from social media. And here's the thing. I really care a lot about reducing exposures where they're the most important. And yes, you can be exposed to PFAS from products, things like raincoats that are stain resistant or Gore-Tex or any of your clothing that has these chemicals on it. And yes, I know even mascara and period underwear are being talked a lot about in the media. But the most overall concerning source of PFAS exposure is contaminated water, our drinking water. It is the most common exposure pathway. So how widespread is our drinking water contamination? So I'll be honest, up until recently, we actually had no idea. We knew it was bad, but we weren't sure how bad. I mean, PFAS chemicals have been detected in even the most remote parts of the globe, like the Arctic and Antarctica. In England, many of their rivers fail to meet their minimum standards for chemical health due to the presence of PFAS. Cardiff University analyzed the livers of otters across England and Wales and found PFAS in all of the samples, with 12 different kinds of PFAS found in 80% of the animals. And at sea, PFAS has been found in killer whales near Norway. So it kind of seemed like they were everywhere. But how many Americans have PFAS in the drinking water that's coming out of their tap? And I'm just going to pause right there. And I really hope you're not drinking tap water without a filter. If you are, please stop what you're doing. Maybe pause or maybe wait till the end. It's totally up to you. Go listen to episode 4 of the podcast for all the reasons why you should not be drinking tap water. Okay, now that that service announcement is over, back to PFAS. Literally last week, the USGS, which is the U.S. Geological Survey, released a study, which is, I've never seen a study like this. Usually when we study toxins in drinking water, or groundwater, we test the groundwater or we test public water supplies. We don't test private property, personal property, tap water coming out of individual homes. But the USGS did do a study. It was the first of its kind where they took tap water samples from both public and private locations on a broad scale throughout the country, and it tested water samples from more than 700 locations over a 5-year period. They used that data to model and estimate how much PFAS contamination there is in our drinking water supplies nationwide. The conclusion? Half of the drinking water supplies in all of America are contaminated with PFAS chemicals. Now, that's not across the board. What they actually found that is if you live in an urban area, so if you live in a city or a suburb, more of an urban area, you actually have a 75% chance that PFAS is found in your drinking water supply. And if you live in a rural or remote area that is not near one of the DuPont or 3M or these manufacturing facilities, your chance is actually lower. Your drinking water supplies are only about 25% contaminated. They also found certain geographic areas that are worse than others, and I'm going to go ahead and link that study in the show notes so you can check it out and see if you live in those areas. Let me ask you a question. Would you love to know how to read a label without being super confused about what ingredients you should be avoiding and which ones are clean? If you said yes, listen up. This is for you. I remember being that person standing in aisles at Target trying to read labels, and back then I had zero idea what I was looking for. I didn't know what a preservative was or an ethoxylated ingredient. It was all like reading a foreign language. But now that I'm a savvy label reader, I wanted to create a simple way to teach you how to read labels without being overwhelmed. That's why I created a resource I know you are going to love. It's a list of my top 25 toxins to avoid and my simple three-step hack for reading labels. It's not just any hack. It's the exact same method that I use every single day to review products and read labels, and it's the same process I teach all of my students. With these three steps and a little bit of practice, you'll be able to tell within 90 seconds if a product is clean or not. I personally believe that everyone should have this skill. You can't be fooled by greenwashing and fancy marketing when you know how to look for ingredients you want to avoid. So whether you're just starting out on this toxin-free journey or you're a seasoned pro, this information is so valuable. And here's the best part. It's completely free. Just head over to www.toxinstoavoid.com. That's www.toxinstoavoid.com. Grab your download and start reading labels like a pro today. Now you know what PFAS chemicals are. Now you know where to find them. So what's the big deal? What are the health implications when it comes to exposure to PFAS chemicals? What does that actually mean? What is it doing in your body? And what does it mean for you? We actually have very little studies on them as a broad class of chemicals, all those 12,000. But there are certain more widely used chemicals like the PFAS, PFOA, and PFHXS, and PFNA, and Gen X, and it's super complicated. But we do have data. And like most other chemical toxin exposures, the more you are exposed, the higher your risk. So let's walk through a little bit of the science here. We have studies that show that PFAS exposure may be responsible for a long list of health effects, including affecting infants and children's growth, learning and behavior, lowering a person's chance of getting pregnant, so it's been linked to infertility. It's linked to being interfering with the body's hormones, so it's a likely hormone disruptor. It increases cholesterol levels, which is a big one. I'm going to talk about that in a second, but it also affects the immune system. It reduces our immune response and it increases the risk of certain cancers. Now, there were some studies that were done in those areas that had really, really high amounts of PFAS contamination, like around the DuPont manufacturing plant in Parkersburg, West Virginia. It was actually an epidemiological study of 69,000 adults living in the area. They tracked the amount of PFAS exposure and disease among the whole population and found a link between the elevated PFOA blood levels, which is what the Teflon plant there was making. It was PFOA. High cholesterol, reduced thyroid function, testicular cancer, kidney cancer, preeclampsia, elevated blood pressure during pregnancy, and more. But those were the big ones. But like all human studies, these studies on PFAS, they're observational, meaning that you observe a correlation. You can't prove a cause and effect. Part of that is because we don't have controlled trials, right? We don't have a large group of people who have had zero PFAS exposure, and then another group that has lots of PFAS exposure to, you know, take a look at them in terms of exposure route or intensity and their health. Which means we don't have the data to say black and white, like, you know, this chemical increases your risk of cancer by 25%. And this is actually a big problem in the regulatory world to begin with. And I truly believe it's one of the reasons why the chemical industry has gotten away with no regulation for such a long period of time, because you know, the dose is the poison used to be the way and still is, which is total bullshit and is like, yeah. Anyway, the dose is the poison. You know, if you have too much arsenic in your body, that we know it causes X damage. And so we can quantify it. But when you have these chemicals, like whether it's an endocrine disruptor, it's a phthalate, or it's a PFAS chemical, and you have all of this low level exposure over time, it is really hard to quantify the actual risk, which is why it's taken 70 fucking years for people to give a crap about these chemicals. It's because it's taken that long for science and for the media and for the government and for people to say, enough, this is a huge problem. Okay, so now that we know this is a huge problem, what is being done about it? So I will say the EPA has finally taking action under a lot of pressure. Currently, there has only been an established drinking water health advisory, which really has no teeth. And what it means is that for PFOA and PFAS, so remember, just two of those 12,000 chemicals, they really want to see less than 70 parts per trillion. But again, it's just a safety recommendation and nobody's feet is being held to the fire. They do have a rule, a proposed rule out right now that would create maximum contaminant levels for, I think it's 6 different PFAS. It's definitely PFOA, PFAS, some of these Gen X, some of those more popular ones that I talked about. But they want to get those numbers to the lowest detection level that our labs can. So that's like 4 parts instead of that 70 parts per trillion. And while that's a huge step in the right direction, what's hard for that is that these municipalities, these water purveyors, these people who provide water to your homes, they're going to be stuck with the bill, which means you're going to be stuck with the bill. And the cities and the counties and the drinking water systems are not the ones that contaminated all of our water. I was somewhat happy and somewhat optimistic recently. 3M agreed to a legal settlement of $10.3 billion, and that money is supposed to go towards the U.S. public drinking water systems. So it will help them upgrade their systems, give them better filters. It will help them with testing. And so there's a lot of lawsuits actually out there right now, DuPont and spinoffs, I think Chemours, Corteva. There's all these chemical companies that are currently in litigation because people are demanding that they pay for what they've done. There's a lot of evidence that these companies that were manufacturing these chemicals have known about the health impacts since the 50s. And under the law, there's no requirement for them to tell anybody. And I was actually on a call, and it was an industry-wide call where 3M had a spokesperson that was on the call talking about their plan to phase out PFAS chemicals. I don't personally think that is possible. I think it's kind of a smoke and mirrors game. You know, there are certain industries like aerospace and the defense industry that rely on these chemicals for really creating really important things like spaceships. So while these companies might be phasing out certain chemicals, this is what they do. They take a chemical and they pull, you know, one thing out of it and they add another thing in, and it kind of operates and acts the same way, but they get to call it something different. And the same thing happened with BPA, right? Everyone was like, BPA is bad, BPA is terrible. So you started seeing all these companies say, we're going to make all these BPA-free products, BPA-free bottles. You still see them everywhere. But the chemical that they came up with to replace the BPA has now, all these years later, been found to be just as bad as the BPA. And we in the industry call that regrettable substitution. And I am afraid that's what's going to happen here. You know, they'll come up with a substitute, and then, you know, 30 years later, or maybe 70, like this one, everyone will be like, well, oh shit, it's just as bad as the original. But not to be a total negative Nancy, I do see progress. And I think a lot of it is because of you. There is pressure because of social media and the way that information travels so fast that, you know, government agencies like the EPA and senators and congressmen and the industry lobby and these companies are now being put under scrutiny to do something. And I think that your voice is powerful. I get to see the positive side. I get to see the industry. I get to see the government. I get to see everyone working together to try to figure out, how do we get rid of this problem scientifically? How do we research filters that actually work? How do we clean up our rivers and our groundwater? I see some of the smartest people. Like sometimes when I'm in these rooms, I literally feel like the dumbest person is the person who does this from a policy perspective, from a regulatory perspective. There are crazy smart scientists that are trying to fix this problem. And that gives me hope. Okay, let's get to the best part of this entire podcast. And you could probably even have fast-forwarded through that entire thing. But whatever you're doing right now, if you are multitasking, I want you to pause and I want you to come back to me and I want you to hear this. These are the things that you can do right now to protect your family and support your health and decrease your exposure to these PFAS. I already told you that your drinking water is your biggest source of contamination. Ingesting PFAS chemicals is the way that it gets into your body. So get a drinking water filter and/or a whole house filter that is certified to remove PFAS chemicals. It is the best thing that you can do. If all you can afford is a drinking water filter, that's okay. Start there so that the water that you're drinking is not full of PFAS. But consider that you're also brushing your teeth and cooking and showering in it. So maybe your next step should be a whole house water filter. I will put a link in the show notes to all of my favorite water filters. On my toxin-free shopping guide, there is an entire category of drinking water filters, whole house filters, and even showerhead filters. And you can find those over at www.toxinfreeshoppingguide.com and just click on the water filters category tab. The next thing you can do, avoid non-stick pans. Especially if they are scratched. The minute that you have a nonstick pan that has PFAS chemicals in it, which the majority of the ones on the market do, you gotta toss it because now you're ingesting all of those chemicals every time you cook. There are toxin-free nonstick versions on the market like Caraway and Green Pan and I think the My Place, that the one, you know, the pan that comes in all those colors. It's like an all-in-one everything. And you know, those are okay options. But here's the thing that you need to know, that you're only going to get like 2 years out of those. Those surfaces, because they're not used with PFAS chemicals, they don't last. So just be aware of that when you're purchasing them. I personally only use stainless steel. It's a perfect option. And if there is a trick, you can actually make them completely nonstick. You just got to heat it up first and then lower it. And anyways, the whole trick that I have. But I do also have all of my favorite cookware on my free shopping guide. The next thing you should do, fast food takeout. So fast food takeout, as well as things like pizza boxes, actually have these PFAS chemicals coated on them, and it makes the food not stick to the wrapper. So obviously avoiding fast food is ideal, but you know, not everybody can do that. I love my Chick-fil-A runs, like real life here, okay? So once you get the takeout, as quickly as you possibly can, get it off of that wrapper and get it into a glass container. And for the love of God, do not, I repeat, do not put those containers into your microwave and heat them up. They will just leach right into your food. And that advice also goes to those microwave popcorn bags. Those are full of PFAS. So just stick to, you know, get a stainless steel pot and get some actual popcorn, you know, seeds and just pop it right on your stovetop. You know what? I think it tastes better anyway. Okay, the next one is something maybe you might not have heard, but dental floss. So think about it. What makes the dental floss slide and slip right through your teeth? It's PFAS. So go with a company, go with a clean brand that makes a floss that they can guarantee is PFAS free. If you're just grabbing something at the drugstore or at Target, I can guarantee it is probably made with PFAS. If it's in your mouth, you're ingesting it. So that's a problem. Okay, so those are the main categories of ways that you are ingesting PFAS. And when it comes to the science and all of the health studies that we have in showing those long-term health impacts, they're really looking at ingestion. The other way that you can get it into your body is through inhaling it. So remember I said it can get into the air. It can be lightweight and it can migrate into your air. So just vacuum your home regularly, wet dust regularly, and just overall keep your home clean, and that will help as well. So before I move on to our last category, which is the products that you're using, I'm going to say something really unpopular, but I think it's because I'm living in the data all the time. And that is this. There are very few studies. Actually, I haven't seen any. I'm just going to be honest. I haven't seen any that show that PFAS chemicals get absorbed through your skin dermally, because what they're finding is that it's not a good, I mean, think about it. It's waterproof, right? So how is something that is a larger molecule that is bonded so tight, how is that going to penetrate through your skin and get into your bloodstream? It kind of just lays on top of your skin. So there, you know, there's not, I haven't seen any, there's not a lot of science out there. It may exist and I just haven't seen it. But what we're seeing is that the ingestion of these PFAS chemicals is where the real exposure pathways is, also inhaling it, but that dermally, so if you're wearing something like, say, a stain-resistant jacket on your skin, they're not really seeing that as a big exposure pathway. That doesn't mean it's not happening at all. It just means that it's a less likely contributor. So honestly, like I have rain boots and a rain jacket. I have some things that are waterproof and stainproof, and I'm not going to go throw them away. So I just, you know, and that's my personal choice based on everything that I read. That's my comfort level. And so I just offer that up for you to do what you want with. I also have these really beautiful leather chairs that are recliners that I bought a couple years ago. I love them so much. They're sitting right in front of our fireplace and I sit in them all the time, and they have stain resistant chemicals on them. You know, I'm not going to get rid of those, and I'm still going to use them all the time, and I'm not going to worry that it's, you know, leaching through my skin. I'm going to get on my really comfortable chairs and enjoy the fire, and I'm just not even going to think about it. But if you're somebody who is really concerned about the products that you have and you want to get rid of something that is water repellent, stain resistant, anything that's Gore-Tex, you know what? Go right ahead. I love that for you. And I think that is definitely a choice that I see people making. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, 10 years from now, I might be completely wrong and they may find that actually, yes, these chemicals can penetrate your skin. But as I said, I haven't seen it yet. So here are some things that have been found, products. So mascara. Mascara has been found to have a lot of PFAS in it, specifically the ones that are long-lasting and waterproof. That's how they make them waterproof. So if you are somebody shopping for mascara, you can shop for My Toxin-Free Shopping Guide, which are companies that do not use PFAS, and you need to avoid the waterproof mascara. And you know, the thing about that is getting into your eyes, or some lipsticks have been found to have them also, you're still ingesting them. And if it's getting into your eyes, that is a pathway where your skin is not protecting. So mascara and lipstick, I would say, are something you want to make sure they're certified PFAS free and you're buying from a brand that you actually trust. Now, the other one that's been a hot topic is period underwear. So Thinks settled a lawsuit on this. And period underwear companies, some of them have, you know, some of them say we don't purposely put PFAS into our products, but as part of the manufacturing process, they get contaminated. Maybe the raw materials, the organic cotton, maybe it's being, you know, grown in a place where the water is contaminated, and they're saying, you know, it's a contamination issue. So I love brands like Salt. And actually, I have an episode that I did on period products. It was episode number 7. And in my toxin-free shopping guide, every single product that I recommend there are from companies that test for and are PFAS-free. Salt is one of my favorites. Salt is very serious about ensuring all of their products, their period underwear, their tampons, their pads, everything is completely PFAS-free. So again, find a company that you trust and stick with that. The reason why I would say those period products are important to avoid is because, again, it's so close to your vagina that it can, you know, you can internalize, you can get it into your body bypassing your skin barrier. Those are the big ones. But I got to tell you, I think we're going to start hearing more and more and more about products that are contaminated with PFAS, because it's something that's not required to be tested for. It's nothing that's regulated. It takes private people or these third parties or these non-governmental organizations to take products and independently pay to have them tested. Or Consumer Reports sometimes are the ones that come out and say, hey, we found contamination. So Lululemon has recently come under fire because PFAS has been found in the crotch of their athletic leggings, which again, the crotch, especially if you are somebody who doesn't like to wear underwear, that is problematic. Contact lenses are another one that recently has been found. I saw the latest report I saw showed that up to 80% of all contact lenses contain PFAS, which makes perfect sense because they're waterproof. They're in your eye. They're full of moisture, right? There's a reason probably why these companies are using PFAS. And it'll be interesting to see which companies come out and say, hey, we're PFAS free. what other companies do about it, if anything. I would say if you are really concerned about PFAS contamination or having exposure, you might want to reduce the time that you wear contact lenses unless you can find a company that can assure you that they test for it and they are PFAS free. I'm not sure of any in the moment, but maybe something I will follow up on later. So there you have it. Those are all of the ways that you can protect yourself and your family from PFAS contamination. I really hope you learned a lot and I hope you feel empowered. I hope that, you know, me giving you all of the details in the information isn't something that you find scary and makes you want to go bury your head in the sand and say, oh my gosh, that's too much. You know, how I can't. And you feel frozen about it. I want you to feel empowered. You have the information now. You know, so you can go do the things that you need to do to stay safe. Okay, friend. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week. You, my friend, have officially finished another episode of the Detox Dilemma podcast. And if you want more, head over to wendycatherine.com to get all the show notes and links to discount codes from our amazing partners. If you're looking for something specific to help you detox your home, make sure you check out my toxin-free shopping guide at toxinfreeshoppingguide.com. It's organized by category and makes detoxing your home simple. I'll see you next week. And until then, I hope your life is getting just a little less toxic.